you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's letter to the congregation in Rome, chapter 12, beginning with the 9th verse. This is our second lesson for this morning. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, when I was growing up, I got myself into quite a bit of trouble, time and time again. I was constantly getting in fights with other kids, especially those who are older with me. You see, they would pick on me or they would mock me, so I'd retaliate by attacking them. I remember one instance with an 8th grader quite well. It was my 7th grade year during Arbor Day. And this 8th grader and I were... No, we had a verbal spat between the two of us. And then she, did I mention this 8th grader was a girl, she took her rake and hit me with it. Now, a normal 7th grade boy might do one of two things. He might go and tell a teacher, or he'd have some choice words for that 8th grade girl, then eventually walk away. So what did I do? Well, I yanked the rake out of her hand and hit her with it. I thought I was going to die that day when she told her 300-pound football coach, Dad, about it. It's only by the grace of God that my life was spared that day, and it is only by the grace of God that He did not count those sins against me. I tell you that story because it illustrates what the world does. The world seeks to get even. They want to treat others as they themselves were treated. They seek revenge. In fact, there's a popular TV show now about that very theme. It's even called Revenge, about a daughter seeking to get revenge on a group of people who had her father arrested and killed. Don't even care what's right and what's wrong. They just want to get even. And like the 7th grade me, we often follow suit. We want people to feel how we felt. We want to do what people did to us. That's why Paul urges us to overcome evil with good. We show love to others, even our enemies, just as Christ showed love to us. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that's what the world says. That's their motto. You mistreat me, and I'll mistreat you. You did something I don't like, and I'm going to do the same to you. You often forget how it made them feel. Why would anyone want to make others feel how they felt when they're mistreated? But that's kind of the point, isn't it? You made me feel bad, so I'm going to make you feel horrible. It's all about revenge, retaliation, about getting even. And sometimes it goes above and beyond getting even. Now the world wants to have the last laugh, to one-up each other, to win the battle. Think of all the lawsuits today. They don't seek a just penalty. They don't want to recuperate what they lost. No, they demand millions upon millions of dollars because they lost enjoyment or they lost a good reputation or their ability to do something for a while. They don't want just to get even. They want revenge. They want to make others pay and suffer. And sadly, at times, we may be no different. Like the 7th grade me and that 8th grade girl. We want to get even. We don't want anyone to get the best of us. That's what the world teaches us. Don't let anyone push you around. You can't become a pushover. You can't let people get the best of you, but stand up for yourself. And if we don't, then we're labeled as soft. The world tells us not to let people get the best of us. And we often fall into that trap. Take Jacob, some of Jacob's sons, for example. Now, Jacob had 12 sons and a few daughters. And once one of Jacob's daughters, Dinah, was raped. Raped by a man named Shechem. Shechem then fell in love with Dinah and wanted to marry Dinah, so he asked Jacob and Jacob's sons if he could marry Dinah. Well, Jacob's sons consented under one obligation, under one condition. If Shechem was circumcised and all the other people of his city, all the other men of his city were circumcised, well, then he would be allowed to marry their sister. Shechem said that sounded like a good idea, so him and all the men of his city were circumcised. But Simeon and Levi, two of Jacob's sons, had something else in mind. 3 days after they're circumcised, while they're still in pain, they attacked the city and killed every single last male. They destroyed the town, plundered all their goods, and took off with their women and their children. Revenge. They got even, and then some. Jacob, on the other hand, wasn't too happy. He was ashamed at the sins of his sons. In the same way, God is ashamed when we seek retaliation. The same way God is ashamed and angry at us when we take matters into our own hands. Our text for today is filled with such commands. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for the Holy Spirit. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. There's no need for us to seek revenge. There's no need for us to get even, for the Lord knows what's going on. The Lord understands what people are doing to us. He promises to guard us and protect us and to take care of us. On the last day, those will get what they deserve. It's not up for us to seek revenge. Now, it's not as if we look the other way at sin. It's not as if we don't think it's a big deal. People, when they mistreat us, they sin against the Lord. So it is a big deal because it is a sin. And we hate sin. As Paul says in verse 12, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Now, we hate the sin that people commit against us, not because they mistreated us, but because they sinned against the Lord. And if we hate that sin, then we don't want to join in that sin. Now, if we would retaliate, if we would try to get even, we'd be committing the same sin that we hate. So instead of fleeing, we flee from what is evil and we cling to what is good. Instead of going towards revenge, we flee from retaliation and we cling to forgiveness. That's what our first lesson talked about today. Saul was trying to kill David, pursued him for months, years. And here was the second time that David had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he didn't. Or contrast Joseph with his brothers. You may remember that Joseph's brothers hated him and they threw him into a cistern. And then when they saw a caravan coming, they took him and sold him into slavery. They thought Joseph would die. But God was with Joseph and made Joseph the second in command of all of Egypt. And when a famine hit, and Jacob's brothers came to visit Egypt to buy grain, there was Joseph. Joseph had all the power available in his country. He could have killed them and tortured them, threw them into prison, what did he do? Forgave them. Gave them grain, let them live in the best part of the land for raising their flocks. Freely forgave. Forgave them so much that the brothers didn't believe it. When Jacob, their father, finally died, they thought then Joseph was going to get even with them. Then Joseph was going to get his revenge. Joseph had to again remind them that he forgave them and he loved them as his own dear brothers. So in the same way, we want to overcome evil with good. As Paul says in verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. But why would we want to do that? Why would we not want to seek revenge? Why would we not try to get even? Why would we not make people feel the same way they made us feel? Because of our goal. By retaliating, you're not going to make any friends. By getting evil with someone, you're going to make enemies. And then there goes your opportunity to share the gospel with them. But if you're nice to those who mistreat you, if you show love to those who persecute you, that might cause them to think. That might cause them to pause before they abuse you or another Christian again. It might eventually lead them to wonder about your faith, about your Christ. Then you can tell them about the love of your Savior. You can overcome good. You can overcome evil with good. You have an opportunity then to tell them about Christ. Christ who did not seek revenge. Oh, he could have. As God, he has all the power in the world. He could do whatever he wants to do. But what do we see on that Monday, Thursday night when he was arrested? When a group of soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Jesus asked them, who are you looking for? And they responded, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I am he. And when he said, I am he, they fell over backwards. Jesus is Lord Almighty, the omnipotent Savior. He had all the power in the world, and yet we see Jesus arrested because he let them. We see Jesus who was blindfolded and spit upon and beaten with rods and crowned with thorns and flogged and crucified. He had the power to retaliate. He had the power to get even and seek revenge. If he wanted to, he could have come off of that cross. He could have beat them or flogged them or crucified them. He could have sent fire and brimstone from heaven. He could have sent a legion of angels to fight his war for him. But he didn't. Instead, we see Jesus up on that cross. And his first words, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. No revenge. No retaliation. Love. Forgiveness. Something that Jesus willingly did. Because he knew what he would accomplish on that cross for us. He knew that on that cross he was showing love to his enemies. That's where we were born. Born as God's enemies. Ever since Adam and Eve rebelled against the Lord and ate that forbidden fruit, we have been born as sinners. Inclined towards evil. In fact, we couldn't do anything but sin from the time we were born by nature. Just a few chapters after the fall into sin, Matthew records God's impression about men. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of his thoughts, of his heart, were evil, or only evil all the time. who Christ in His grace brought us to faith through the gospel. And yet even now as Christians we are still sinners. Even now as Christians we still fail to obey His commands. We still rebel against Him time and time again. We still separate ourselves from our Savior. And so Christ died for us. Christ died for His enemies. He was nailed to that cross and gave up His life. But not before He took our sins upon Himself. Not before He became guilty of everything we have done wrong. Not before He gave us His perfect life and suffered through the pain and agony of hell. Jesus didn't treat us as we treated Him. He didn't get even for all the times we rebel and sin against Him. No, instead, He gave up His life so that we may live forever through faith in Him. God's love is our motivation to love others. What He did for us leads us to overcome evil with good. We treat others not as they treat us, but we treat others as God treated us. We love each other as brothers. As Paul says in verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. A brother might do something stupid. He might say things that he regrets. But in the end, you love him because he's your own flesh and blood. And you forgive him no matter what. Just think of Joseph and his brothers. And that's how we treat others. As our brothers. We treat them as Christ treated us. For the love of Christ not only dwells in us, for the love of Christ dwells through us. We show others the love of Christ by loving as Christ. So rather than seeking revenge, we forgive. Rather than retaliating, we love. We don't hold people's sins against them. We show love to them, even our enemies, just as Christ loved us as His enemies. When I was in 7th grade, I acted like the world and retaliated. The world seeks to get even, get revenge. But nothing good can come from that. Rather, we loved others just as Christ loved us. Instead of seeking an opportunity to get revenge, we seek an opportunity to forgive and to tell them about the love of Christ. So that through the gospel they may be brought to faith. So that they may become our brothers and sisters in Christ. And join us in heaven everlasting. We pray that we... in heaven everlasting, where we will praise the name of our Savior forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.